Hi, it's JC with the top five reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number one, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. Two, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. Three and four, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number five, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. This is the fourth season of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for all your emails at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. This is the third consecutive season. We are sponsored by Hooters. Hooters, in particular, in my home city, Tampa, has 11 original Hooters brand locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Of course, I frequent the location on Hillsborough Avenue. That's where we have our annual big draft event. It increases by one league every year, maybe increases by two leagues next year based on the reaction we had in 2019. I also visit many other Hooters locations around the Tampa Bay area at a recent charity golf tournament at Cheval, hosted by the great Dr. Dick Gunderman, that raises money for United Cerebral Palsy of Tampa Bay. The Hooters girls from what is considered the North Tampa store, which is just west of the USF campus, were out at that event, as beautiful Hooters girls are annually. For those of you outside the Tampa Bay area, it does not take much for you to remember or find the nearest Hooters location for you to watch football, enjoy quality cold beverages, hot wings, and service from the beautiful Hooters girls. I know the Hooters calendar was just announced recently. Our friend Ty, who takes care of us at every draft event and works the bar at the Hillsborough Avenue location every Thursday night for Thursday Night Football, back in the calendar again this year. Congratulations to Ty on that. We also shout out to Bill Curry Ford, huge supporters of JoeBucksFan.com. Sean Sullivan and I have had a number of very interesting football conversations, many of which I can share on the podcast and some that I cannot yet. Sean Sullivan plays in one of our podcast leagues. He's doing rather well. He is in the Ira Kaufman Hall of Fame Fantasy League. We thank Sean for his support of the podcast and overall of JoeBucksFan.com. Recording this for you on Friday morning after the Thursday night game in which the Patriots did eventually cover and win easily, despite a first half that was very odd in many ways against the injury-depleted New York Giants. For those of you that had the New England Patriots defense, I would imagine it was more of a you already had them rather than it was a streaming option for DST. It paid off big. Block punt for a touchdown. And then a defensive touchdown later that held up over review that hurt those like me looking for a short rushing touchdown from Sony Michel, who got a heavy workload but just did not get in the end zone. Something got into Tom Brady last night. He was quarterback sneaking from the 3.5-yard line late in the game. And then when he didn't get in, he took the sneak on the next play rather than hand it to Sony Michel. Brandon Bolden also got a short yardage touchdown. There were no touchdowns for Sony Michel, no touchdowns for Julian Edelman. Josh Gordon was injured in the game. Not sure about his status. Talk about Josh Gordon and the bigger picture in this fantasy podcast more in just a moment. Giants, I think, sort of took it easy in this one. They did play hard. They did show up, which is to their credit that they did so. But with the short week, it seems like they didn't want to push a number of things, namely Saquon Barkley. where it appears as though Saquon Barkley could return as early as the next New York Giants game. For those of you like me who invested in him as the number one overall pick in a season-long league. So there's optimism on Saquon Barkley returning soon. There's optimism that Tyreek Hill could play this week off the broken clavicle that he suffered in week one. As far as Tyreek Hill is concerned, if you are an owner of Tyreek Hill, I would imagine 90% of you did not cut Tyreek Hill. You simply kept him on the roster, knowing that it was going to be a hopefully one-month-plus type thing, a lot of season to go, big play wide receiver, right? Anytime Tyreek Hill touches the ball, it could result in 6 to 12 fantasy points in a blink of an eye. There is not optimism on Davante Adams. Davante Adams, who a couple of weeks ago in that game against the Philadelphia Eagles was having an enormous game, biggest game of the year for Davante Adams. And then after a big play, he went down and injured his toe and never returned. As a result, the Packers struggled to score from inside the 5-yard line and ultimately lost that game as a result. They played without Adams last week in their dusting of the Dallas Cowboys, but it was Aaron Jones running the ball into the end zone and not Aaron Rodgers throwing it into the end zone. So those that were plug and playing and streaming Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Geronimo Allison, Jimmy Graham, as my old friend Tony Reale of PTI and Around the Horn would say, you got squadoosh. That's it. So the bigger picture here that I want to talk about in this edition of the podcast is one of the trends that I've noticed, and part of it is because of the news on Adams, thinking about Hill coming back. Josh Gordon, as a result of last night, will finish no higher through the first 6 weeks of the season than wide receiver 28 in any of those weeks, despite Brady looking his way, despite the Patriots being unbeaten, despite the Patriots scoring a lot of points. Remember last year, the Patriots had the highest number of snaps in the red zone of any team in the National Football League. So the trend here is, and I want you to think about this personally, does it feel like this season you're always searching for a receiver to play? Whether it's currently on your roster and you're like, well, I don't know about him. Well, I have him, but I could pick up him. Let's take the Patrick Daugherty rankings for this week. Patrick Daugherty ranks players each week on rotoworld.com. Thank goodness it's not something that you and I have to pay for, as RotoWorld has gone more to a paid service. That's why this podcast, I know how to sell sponsorships, so you don't have to pay for anything. Patrick Daugherty, excellent at what he does. His week six wide receivers, in order of preference, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas. Tyreek Hill, he has five. Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, Adam Thielen, Tyler Boyd, Tyler Lockett, Julian Edelman, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, Kenny Galladay. Okay, we'll stop there. Because some of you will even say, why is Mike Evans up there? He didn't even touch a ball last week. You know that's not going to happen this week, even against a quality pass defense like Carolina, despite the fact that Mike Evans for the second straight week is going up against a quality DB. This week it's James Bradbury. Last week it was Lattimore for New Orleans. Evans is not going to have another no-catch week. Squeaky wheel theory, look at Adam Thielen the previous week for Minnesota. But once we get to, say, okay, Tyler Boyd stands out. I mean, I could take this to Thielen, but he is off a big week. But Thielen's had a down year until last week. Tyler Boyd, to me, is a wide receiver too. Now, Chris Godwin is a wide receiver too on his own team, but he's putting up wide receiver one numbers. Tyler Boyd, now, by default until AJ Green comes back, with the Bengals vehemently denying they're going to trade AJ Green. Despite their 0-5 record, Tyler Boyd is the de facto wide receiver one on the Bengals. Tyler Lockett, I don't know if I'd call him a wide receiver one. I don't know if owners of Tyler Lockett would call him a wide receiver one. The targets are there. He gets in the end zone. He makes big plays. Kind of a poor man's Tyreek Hill in Tyler Lockett, at least on a winning team, but not the big jump that some expected Lockett to make in the absence of Doug Baldwin, who made those big plays consistently from Russell Wilson in Seattle. Then we get to Julian Edelman, who is a joy to own. Play him every week. You know he's going to get targets. You know he's going to get lots of yards after the catch, but did not get in the end zone last night. Odell Beckham, look, the Browns are a mess. I mean, even if you're a Nick Chubb owner, someone last night in one of my leagues tried to trade me Nick Chubb for DeAndre Hopkins. I said no. Now, I like Nick Chubb, and I think he was worthy of how he kept moving up as draft season went along. He ended up going as either, depending on your league, probably RB4, 5, 6, or 7. Closer probably to the high end of that, 4 or 5. He's had some big games. He sees the ball plenty. Here's the problem. He's on a shitty team with a lousy coach that, to me, doesn't have a lot of fight on a week-to-week basis. They certainly didn't look it within that Monday night game against the Niners. They play a tough opponent this week in Seattle. Then they're off. Then they play the Patriots. Do you see this getting any better? Then, even if you believe in Nick Chubb, and none of this is technically on his watch, but he's a victim of game flow and lousy coaching and the team around him not playing well and penalties wiping out good runs sometimes. Then Kareem Hunt comes back. They're not going to not play Kareem Hunt unless they're planning on trading him. So that's why I turned the Chubb deal down, even though Hopkins' touchdowns haven't been there even in a huge game last week for Deshaun Watson. But point I'm making here is, so I'm just running through, that's wide receivers 9 through 13 and Mike Evans 14, according to Patrick Daugherty. The givens out there seem to be dwindling. So let's walk through why this is happening. First of all, let's take the Davante Adams situation. You drafted him as your first wide receiver, and he's been a disappointment. Now, he most recently got hurt, but even before the big game in which he got hurt, where he didn't score, but he put up, what, 180 yards, Davante Adams wasn't putting up normal Davante Adams numbers. While the Packers have been winning, they haven't been exploding vertically. Aaron Rodgers' value is down. So if Aaron Rodgers' value is down, Davante Adams' value is down, and as those of you who tried to stream Scantling, Allison, Graham last week found out, it isn't there. So what does it say that in an on a team with Aaron Rodgers that's winning games, and their number one wide receiver goes out, and you can't find another guy that's productive? It's much like when Tyreek Hill went out for the Chiefs, many of us fantasy owners jumped on Chiefs wide receivers, right? We're looking for, okay, so Tyreek Hill isn't there. Let's find the other guy who's going to get those targets. There wasn't a continuation for Sammy Watkins. That was somewhat predictable. But whether it's been Robinson, Hardman, last week Pringle, it's just too hard to predict. Patriots, right? They start the season without Antonio Brown. Then they have him. He scores 3 touchdowns. Then they dump him. Josh Gordon, again, no higher than wide receiver 28 any week. Julian Edelman, he's put up solid numbers. If you're an Edelman owner, you can't complain. You may complain about last night, but that's a one-off, right? You still love Julian Edelman. Dorsett. Has been pretty. It's tough to find where the Patriots. It used to be that with the running back situation. This year, it's been a lot with the wide receiver situation. The Vikings, for those that invested high draft picks in Thielen and Diggs, until last week, You weren't getting what you invested in Thielen. You're still not getting what you invested in Diggs. There continues to be talk Diggs will be traded by the Vikings, namely not being downplayed by Stephon Diggs because the Vikings are so run heavy. The Eagles, a team that has a productive offense, but had virtually every wide receiver go down in a game against the Falcons. DeSean Jackson still isn't back. Alshon Jeffrey came back, and his numbers have been lousy. Not worthy of starting. I actually cut him in one of my leagues this week because there were other better options out there for me to roster and consider putting in my starting lineup in a league with a shorter bench. Marquise Brown with the Ravens. I talked on Gil Alexander's show on Thursday. I'm on VEASAN every Thursday morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, 7:30 a.m. Pacific. How the Ravens started, you know, by putting up, what, 35-42 in the first half against the Dolphins? It's been sliding since. Lamar Jackson's performances have been sliding. Mark Ingram has had a couple big games, a couple of okay games. Mark Andrews was hurt. Now he appears to be healthy. But Brown, after putting up massive fantasy numbers on 12 snaps in game one, still seems to be fighting through an ankle injury or just, you know, he's a rookie. He still isn't ready to put up big numbers on a regular basis. So even in a Ravens offense that jumped off the page the first couple of weeks of the season, where do you find the consistency at the wideout position? Pittsburgh, Juju Smith-Schuster, not able to make the jump from wide receiver two to wide receiver one. Some of that is because of the loss of Ben Roethlisberger. Juju owners have been desperately trying to trade Juju Smith-Schuster in recent weeks to owners too dumb to realize Juju is not producing. It's fool's gold there. And Odell Beckham Jr. has had down games, you know, other than the, what, 87-yard catch and run late in that Monday night game against the Jets. Hasn't been a lot there from Beckham. Jarvis Landry had the enormous game last week. And we know last year, even once Mayfield came in and the Browns started winning and putting up numbers, Landry wasn't a beneficiary of that even before Beckham got there. Theme of all this is it's just tough to predict, and maybe more so than recent years, it's tougher to find wide receiver plays that are worthwhile. You can as easily make, and I'm taking the Darty rankings here. So let's take Darty ranks, say, Beckham at 13. You could as easily make the argument that Ridley, and boy did he look good last week, at 24, Gallup, coming back from an injury, drops 100 yards, 25. Are as worthy of playing as Beckham is at 13. And their rankings are twice as far down as Beckham. And look, that's just one example. The point I'm making about all this is, for most of you, you have to have a little perspective here that you probably have one wide receiver that you roll out of bed in the morning, you don't worry about, they're in your lineup. But as far as the second wide receiver or that flex or that third wide receiver, you have the same issue as everybody else. It's making it tougher to know what to do, to find consistency, and especially to make trades. And we'll add one more thing to that before we wrap up this podcast. It doesn't seem like, to me, I've always annually been able to find a receiver on waivers in every league every year that works out for me. That seems to be tougher to find also, right? And we've been looking in the right places. You look in Green Bay with Adams going down and not producing. You look in Kansas City with Tyreek Hill being out for the last month. You look in New England as they go in and out of the Antonio Brown business. You look in Baltimore with the big numbers early. You look in Philadelphia when all their wide receivers went down. It just hasn't happened. The two best examples, in my opinion, DJ Chalk of the Jags, who has had a consistent chemistry and very solid floor with Gardner Minshew. Westbrook finally put up numbers last week because he finally caught the ball. It's not like Minshew wasn't trying to get the ball to Westbrook. Westbrook was dropping passes. But Chalk has probably been more than anyone else. And don't say Godwin, because you were drafting Godwin anyway as a wide receiver too. You're just getting wide receiver one numbers out of him. Chalk was not drafted by anybody back in August. He's been a waiver claim. He's been one of the best. And you know, Chalk was a guy I rostered saying, well, I'd love to have him. I don't know how much I'm planning on playing him. Yeah, I'm playing him now. Why? Because he's got more consistency than so many other guys out there. And the other one that is working his way up, even Patrick Daugherty has him ranked, ironically, right behind Chalk. He has Chalk at 18, has Courtland Sutton at 19. Look, I don't think very much of the Broncos, but that was a quality game they played last week going into L.A. and beating the Chargers. Obviously, Anthony Lynn didn't like what he saw. Denver could have blown that game. Once the Chargers started coming back, they didn't. They held on to win it. Lindsey put up numbers. And Courtland Sutton is continuing to get 6 to 8 targets per game and making big plays. Now, granted, in that game, I don't think he got 6 to 8 targets. I think he only caught 3 or 4 balls, but one was a catch and run for about 60-plus yards and a touchdown. Sutton has been the better play than Emmanuel Sanders. Sutton, probably not a guy you either drafted to play. You drafted him as a wide receiver 4, maybe, or picked him up on waivers. But that's where we're at. That's how tough it is to find wide receivers sort of off the map, off the radar, on the waiver wire that you stream that can do something for you. I told you Tate versus Tate last week. Now, Golden Tate did produce last night because the Giants didn't have Shepard, didn't have Engram, still don't have Barkley. So it was basically a game, all right, Golden Tate, let's show us what you got. Also, you're not competing for any slot routes against Shepard because he's concussed. And he produced one big play touchdown and a lot of other targets and a number of other catches. It paid off for those of you who started him last night. But Auden Tate, albeit in garbage time last week against Arizona, did produce sort of in the John Ross replacement role for the Bengals until A.J. Green comes back. It's not just you. It is a trend. This year, it is tougher to find wide receivers that you can put in your lineup that you know are going to get targets and catches and produce for you. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters, 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. And you can obviously find the one closest to you by visiting originalhooters.com if you are in the Tampa Bay area. For those of you outside the Tampa Bay area, whether it's in the state of Florida, the United States, or around the world, I think you know or can easily find where your nearest Hooters location is for your football watching pleasure and action this weekend and all season long. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, my email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I answer emails Monday through Saturday. Sunday, nope. All the leagues I commission, all the golf I play, all the golf tournaments I run, all the plans that I have. Sunday, I'm sorry, I cannot respond to your emails last minute. Get them in before you go to bed on Saturday night. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.